Cape Talk, the movie review with Gail Edmonds.
And Gail went to go watch Can You Ever Forgive Me? Or have I just added a word to the title? Yes, it is. Can You Ever Forgive Me? With a sterling performance from Melissa McCarthy. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, Africa. Yes, an absolutely sterling performance from Melissa McCarthy and from Richard E. Grant. And he's, of course, our South African connection. But, yes, an incredibly interesting film because it's about a character who is really hard to like, but the writing and the directing and her incredible performance mean that you have great sympathy for this woman who, at the age of 51, having been a relatively successful biography writer, suddenly no one's interested in the content she writes. And her agent stops returning her calls and she gets fired from a sort of soulless job she doesn't like anyway. And she's faced with, she's got a sick cat and her rent is due. And she sort of gently stumbles, you could say, into a criminal enterprise, which is using her skills of getting under the skins of her subjects to make fake letters. So she writes fake letters by Noel Coward and Dorothy Parker and gets herself deeper and deeper into trouble. But it's a very powerful it's a very powerful character study, and it doesn't move very quickly, which some people might find it a bit slow, but I do think the reason for that is that it gently builds these characters, and you sort of, it takes her a long time to get involved in this criminal enterprise. And this movie is based on her memoir, Lee Israel, her name was, and how she sort of got so involved in this that actually she wrote over 400 fake literary sort of memorabilia. Wow. And some of them, I think, are still floating around. They were so good that they were very difficult to tell from the originals. So it's quite an interesting film, but I think what's most interesting is this character and the way Melissa McCarthy, who we should agree, has really only done very, awful sort of comedies before this, mostly.
Some comedies, sterling, but most generally, I have to agree.
They're not my favorite. They've all got scatological humor and all the American stuff I don't like. But I have to say, she just stepped into this role and she's magnificent. She's in a palette of gray. Her wardrobe is sort of gray and brown, and they've made New York also feel not glitzy and glamorous. It's sort of tough. If you're not a beautiful person and you're not easy to get along with, then getting along in life is also not easy. And I think that's quite an interesting element here. And she meets up with this sort of wonderful, I suppose you'd call him a cad, Richard E. Grant's character, who sort of floats through life. He doesn't seem to really have a fixed abode or a fixed job or anything, but he's dreadfully charming and he's got a lovely English accent and he kind of gets by on charm and good luck alone. And they sort of form this friendship that becomes very genuine and very sort of caring for each other in a world that doesn't seem to care for either of them. So it's a very interesting film, and I think that people, I wouldn't recommend it if you're 20 years old, but it is an interesting film, and it's nice always to see the Oscar performances. Mm. And it's a cerebral film. It's bringing forward characters that normally would never get to be the star of the show, and I think that's an interesting thing in itself in terms of how the stories we tell have become more diversified. And this one definitely falls into that category.
Because there's a lot about both characters, actually, that one would never like. It takes
absolutely
a while for one to empathize with them. It's a skill, I suppose, in the crafting of the movie, but also the decision by the director to make it a character study, because you spend the time in the cinema really studying these two characters primarily.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. That's the thing, is that neither of them are the kind of character that you would naturally like. So the fact that the director and the performers managed to absolutely make you buy into their stories is very impressive. And actually the director did, I don't know if you saw that film called Enough Said with Julia Dreyfus and
yes,
James Gandolfini, and it was another one that was just a wonderful film about two people making it in life. And I think that she really has a gift for that here again, where she does. She just builds these characters lovingly, and eventually it's impossible not to feel empathy for them trying to find their way in a very, very hostile world.
It also is a movie that when I walked out of the cinema, I went, we're always striving, are we not, to try and create this perfect world. And often this perfect world is driven by money and status and what you have and what you don't have. And in a way, this movie forced me as a person in the audience to actually examine my own stance when it comes to those things.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, the kind of people who get the most airplay are people who are completely unrealistic, really. If you think about it, they're all charming and fabulous, and most people have lots of flaws, and they, you know, they feel, they're worried about things, and they don't naturally feel confident or naturally feel everything is owed to them. And I think that is what this is. It's about a very ordinary person who's also not a very likable person, and there are people like that you do know around the place that for whom life is a struggle. And how do you make it when no one really likes you or you don't particularly like people? You know, that does happen. And I think you're right. It does make you think about what is important, what makes success. And I think that's another question is, you know, there's that in the film, you know, she talks about Tom Clancy and she says, why on earth does he get this millions of dollars and all this? And her agent says, because he's charming and he plays the game, you know. And what if you're not charming and you can't play the game? Exactly. And this film sort of explores that.
Exactly. Now, any other year, Melissa McCarthy would have been a shoe-in for the Oscar. But in a year when clearly Hollywood seemingly is rewarding Glenn Close for her body of work and her sterling performance in The Wife. And hopefully Olivia Colman being her lead, the front runner for The Favourite. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes, I saw it on Thursday. I made a point to go and see it. My goodness me. There's some serious competition this year, I must say.
So,
I wouldn't like to be trying to choose.
Not at all. And people have been making a big thing about Lady Gaga and I'm going, you know what, Lady Gaga will have many more films to do and hopefully she'll be as good as she has been in. And she was really, really solid in
she was fantastic
in the movie,
but it's a bad year to need an Oscar for a musical when you've got you've got these performances that you're up against these people. Because I have to say, after The Star Is Born was one of the earlier releases. And she's so fantastic. You think, of course she's going to win.
Yeah.
And then you see The Favourite, and then you see this one, and you think, oof, okay, I wouldn't like to be the one doing the voting for this, because really, it's an open race, I think, this year.
And a similar challenge for Richard E. Grant. Once again, he would have taken it any other year, but Mahershala Ali is really doing wonders for Green Book. In fact, there was a whole big debate whether or not he should have been the supporting role in that movie, given the way it's structured
and the
way... and I mean, sometimes producers do that, right? I know that Viola Davis had that honor in Fences, where she was she was perceived as a supporting role when, quite frankly, she should have been a lead in that story. But
absolutely
good decision by the producers, because then it ensured her victory just about at every award ceremony, basically, that she was attended to. It is a beautiful, beautiful movie. I cannot recommend it enough. And Melissa McCarthy, to see her in this role, and also obviously to celebrate Richard E. Grant. And we have even more of a special connection to Richard E. Grant, because he went to school with our very own John Matham, who does a drive show on Cape Talk.
There you go.
We went to university together. So, you know, one roots for it even more. Can You Ever Forgive Me is the title of the movie. Go and watch it. Go and see it, because it is certainly worth it. Gail, thank you very much as always.
Cheers. Bye. Have a good Sunday.
Thank you very much, Gail. She'll be back with us next week, Sunday.